This is The After Party, live with Jim McAllister and John Daly.
Hey, 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 it's Tuesday. How are my sound levels, Kim?
You sound pretty good. If I tell you you're too loud, are you going to wig out?
No. How do you sound? I think you sound good, too.
Do I sound okay? My voice is kind of still low.
It's amazing. Without an engineer or any support staff, we seem to have pretty good sound levels.
I don't understand it.
Weird, right?
No. I have been looking forward to this after party live all day long. We have so many great stories. I'm really excited about the first one. But before we get to it, Wes, $5. I saw you coming in at the end of the Mark Thompson show with that, too. So thank you for your contribution to the Mark Thompson show. And thank you to your contribution here at the After Party Live.
And then Jim Slayton, $5 super sticker.
Jim, throwing down a fiver.
Wow,
thank you so much for that.
Getting us started.
Nice way to get this party started and get the ball rolling.
Party time. That's right, Kay. Thank you.
You found this, and I just thought it was so funny. It's from that website, Board Panda, which sometimes, you know, you just have a time to kill, whatever.
Yeah.
And some things are lame and some things are funny. And it's the same with this. Some of these pictures are like, oh my God, that's great. And some are like, that's
usually a little bit of a stretch. Yeah, I didn't include all of them because there are 50 of them and we have an hour. But sometimes when I see this website and their articles, I think, oh, this is for like high school kids that are bored in class.
Right.
Bored pandas.
And yet it works on us too. So I don't know how.
Maybe we're bored pandas. I could go for some bamboo.
This is photos of animals who have an uncanny resemblance to food.
That's pretty good, right? Yeah.
Yep, that's pretty good. This little, is it a parakeet? Some type of parrot? Really does look like that apple. The coloring is amazing.
It's not a cockatoo?
Look at that. I don't think it's a cockatoo. A cockatoo has a little thing on its head.
Or three or four?
No, it's not.
No.
That's a pretty good one. Let's take a look at another one. What do we have? Is that supposed to look like a pie or something?
Fluffy muffin.
I'm not going for that. Yeah, no.
You can't go for that. Oh.
That's a stretch.
Then can you go for cupcakes?
Uh-uh. That's a stretch. Those do not look like cupcakes.
Well, maybe if you're alternative.
I mean, it's cute, but that's not, no.
Back to birds.
Okay, back to birds. This does really look like a peach. Absolutely. The coloring is amazing. Yeah.
If you can't go for these, you wouldn't have gone for the ones that I cut out. This one I almost cut out, but this is supposed to be salad.
Meh.
Okay. Well, we're coming upon probably the best one. Ready for it?
Okay.
Ice cream.
Okay, that looks a lot like ice cream. Is that a cat?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. With the striations and everything. Yeah. Oh, it totally looks like ice cream. Yeah.
Okay. The next one are forbidden gummies.
Perhaps.
This one works.
Bread loaf.
Bread loaf.
That's kind of fuzzy for bread.
Oh, come on. Jesus Christ, Kim.
They've really hit the bar so high with the
if
apple.
If you're from
the
far
apple
away
birds.
Looking at that, look at the coloration. It looks like baked bread. Jeez, you are such a critic today.
I know I am. I'm not going for that one.
Okay, how about an owl that looks like an apple?
Okay, now you're cooking with fire. Look how much that inside of the apple looks like an owl. I will never look at the inside of an apple again and not see an owl. Never.
I don't know if I've ever cut an apple and had it look like that.
Cut it right in half? Yeah, I think so.
Maybe I'm not cutting apples in half because I know I don't want the core. I don't know. I have to do some more research.
Yeah. You got to cut a few apples.
This one is pretty funny.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Is that a cat as well?
Yeah. This is a cinnamon roll. Let's not forget our podcasters. People are listening like, what are you looking at?
I believe this is
a cat that looks like a cinnamon roll. Yeah. My cat's butt looks like my homemade cinnamon buns.
Absolutely it does.
Cinnabuns.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cinnabums. Cinnabums?
Cinnabon. Yeah. That works B-U-M. For me.
Cinnabum.
Cinnabum.
Mango
yes,
bird.
Yes, absolutely. Look at the coloring. It's perfect.
Okay, maybe ice cream wasn't perfect. Maybe this one was perfect. Or maybe they're both perfect.
Oh, wow. That's one of those cats that has what do they call them?
It's a hairless cat.
And it looks like a chicken breast, turkey breast?
It totally does. They look at the rippling of the skin at the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're both animals without you know, feathers or fur, so I guess it makes sense, but it's...
That's actually a little disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you realize. Probably should go vegan.
What are we eating? What are we doing? Yeah.
Check out this one.
Mm-mm.
No, you're not digging this?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you would never mistake that for a lemon and think, oh,
well, it's
one of these things doesn't look like the others. So, yeah, it's cute. It's cute.
What is that? Do you know what that is?
I don't know what it is. A little creature?
Yeah.
Chinchilla, maybe?
It's one of those things, but it's, you know, again, my pet peeve with media outlets is not identifying what things are.
Sure. Like
if you're going to throw up a photo, tell us what it is.
Right.
It just says, can't tell the difference. So,
no.
Can't tell what it is.
Yes, you can tell the difference and, yeah, tell us what it is.
This is ice cream that's apparently being phased out, right?
Cookies and cream?
Oh, is that cookies and cream? I thought it was vanilla mint chip. Is that cookies and cream? I guess it is cookies and cream.
It looks like cookies and cream, but
strike what I said. Yeah, this dog looks like
vanilla mint chip is being phased out. That's more concerning.
That was on the Mark Thompson show. Don't you listen?
No, I never heard that.
Yeah, you guys talked about that. Or Mark?
Where was I? Was that today?
Yeah. No, it was like last week or something.
No. Vanilla mint chip is being phased out. God, why?
It's not selling.
Vanilla mint chip is amazing.
Okay, hopefully
I demand a recall.
Yeah, he'll be a little disturbed that you're not listening to the show. Okay, let's go back to owls.
Oh, yes.
Here's another apple looks like an owl.
I completely agree.
Okay, yes. Here's a dog that looks like, or a muffin that looks like a dog.
Yes, it does.
A dog that looks like a muffin.
Absolutely, it does.
And I guess this is more of the cupcakes.
Back to the hedgehogs and the cupcake pans.
Yeah, this is hedgehogs. You don't like that. No. But anyway, those are your photos.
Those are pretty good ones in there. I think that was worth looking at.
Yeah, animals who have an uncanny resemblance to foods.
Thank you very, very much to D. Graham, who gave us a $10 super thanks in after hours trading,
yeah,
I think it was.
Right. Yeah.
Really, really cool. If you
D loves her Tesla. She's if you go back to the comments and read her comment about it, she loves her Tesla. She saves a lot of money with her Tesla. She's not a fan of Elon Musk, but she's a fan of saving money and being good to the environment. And
I'm a fan of that too.
Thank you, D.
Thank you for that. Thank you for the $10. Thank you to everyone who's contributed to the show thus far. If you would like to leave us a review, right, John?
Yes. If you want to leave us a review, that's Kim's way of saying I'm supposed to read this. leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use to get your podcast. This will help bump up the show's visibility. I was scrolling for a raccoon video because next up, always try to stay one step ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't always work. But raccoon wanders into a busy Toronto McDonald's. A customer at a McDonald's restaurant in Toronto captured video
this raccoon. It doesn't seem like it was going to go very well,
right? When a curious and presumably hungry raccoon wandered into the eatery. This was posted on TikTok, of course, and shows the raccoon calmly wandering around the inside of this McDonald's while customers look on in surprise and amusement. And let's take a look. So here comes the raccoon.
Hi.
Under a table.
How are you doing,
you? Up to a customer.
Huh? You like my shoes?
No, he likes the shoes.
That's for my son. Okay, come over here.
He's looking for food, trying to grab things, and starts to walk out of McDonald's.
Oh my goodness.
Stops under a counter where there's some stools, and now the staff has been alerted to the situation. And they come out with a broom.
Shoo her out of there, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Raccoon doesn't really want to leave, and now is going back down towards the customers. And here comes the broom. And they need to get this raccoon out of the store. Ranger
Rick. That restaurant's pretty busy, too.
Yeah, Ranger Rick wanted a snack, wanted a combo meal, at least something off the dollar menu.
Wow, I wonder how long that went on. It's concerning because when they are awake during the day, and I don't know if this is at night or day, there's always a risk that they're, you know, there's rabbit or they're carrying something. And so if I'm that guy and the raccoon's coming to sniff my shoe, I'm not sitting there talking to the raccoon. I'm running.
Yeah, the TikTok user said McDonald's employees try to use chicken nuggets to lure the trash panda to the exit, but he didn't fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no. I want a Big Mac.
I want
33,000 Big Macs.
I'll take some fries, please, on my way out. Yep.
Next up is a story I found for you about a new organism. We like, discoveries of new organisms.
I love these stories, and I'm fascinated by this one. It's an 8-tentacled creature, and it was discovered in the deep, deep sea. And they're trying to, scientists trying to figure out, all right, what is this guy? It was discovered in uncharted waters east of New Zealand. And it's a completely new species. So fascinating. I don't know if they've named it yet. I think they call it octorals.
This all sounds very nefarious.
You think it looks scary?
No, the whole situation. What did you say? Off the coast of New Zealand.
And uncharted waters, even.
Uncharted waters. A new creature emerges.
Yeah. It's like, what's happening down there?
Eight tentacles.
Octorals are a group of marine organisms that include sea fans, sea whips, and soft corals. So that is where they're categorizing this one, this organism, and more than 100 species of marine animals have been discovered now in these, as John mentions, uncharted waters east of New Zealand. So welcome to the world, and now we know you. Who knows how long this thing has been around, and we just have never seen one before. Right.
And yeah, and then there's this other photo. I think this might be, this is a different creature mentioned in the article. You see that?
Yeah, that's
further
cool.
Down.
I don't know what that is. No,
this is
unfortunately,
a possible new species of shrimp.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, unfortunately, I can't see this story because it's asking me to log into the Telegraph, to which I do not have a subscription. But this is a really cool looking creature. Can you tell me what it is? Because I love it.
If I knew that, I would have read the story. Sorry. I don't have a subscription to Telegraph either, but you know how these paywalls.
Yeah.
They pick and choose. Scientists exploring one of the remotest parts of the ocean have discovered an entirely new species that has baffled experts. Did you read this part? Or did you read part of it, right?
Mm-mm.
I don't want to repeat. Okay. You said the octoral part. Explorers think they have found not only a new species of octoral, but potentially an entirely new genus. The creature is so unusual that it has baffled scientists, according to the Ocean Census, an environmental NGO, which led the deep sea expedition. We now think it could be a new species of octoral, but also not just that, but also a new genus. More excitingly, it could be a whole new group outside of the octoral. If it is, that would be a significant find for the deep sea and gives us a much clearer picture of the planet's unique biodiversity. Experts initially thought the strange new organism could be a sea anemone or a sea star. Again, we're talking about this one, but later discounted those possibilities. We've got a lot of experts here having a look at this, and they're very excited. As scientists analyze the creatures they dredge up from the ocean floor, somewhat ironic, right? Leave us alone. The number of new species will probably exceed 100, according to a British marine biologist from Oxford. So you know he's good.
Yeah.
He's the co-leader of the expedition. So they're very proud of this great new haul of undiscovered species. By the time all our specimens are examined, there will be north of 100 new species discovered. So if you want to check it out, you can go to the Telegraph until they ask you to sign up and start
and
a
then,
free trial.
And that's it. Yeah. Cool looking species, though.
Very cool. Yeah. I like this new shrimp, possibly a new shrimp.
Somebody said it looked like a little mini scorpion.
Yeah. How long before that's being served?
Ew.
On your table?
That gross. No thanks. It doesn't look very good.
Okay, Oscar's doggy.
Yeah, did you see this dog that was sitting, they cut over and it was sitting in an Oscar seat?
Yeah, this was Messi the dog, right?
Yeah.
I don't have a photo of this, but if you watched the Oscars, you saw it. They had a dog sitting in a seat. The breakout star of Justine Triet's Anatomy of Fall was rumored to have been off the list, but just a few minutes into Jimmy Kimmel's monologue on Sunday night, the camera cut to the 7-year-old border collie in a prime aisle seat next to the stage. Associated Press photographer Chris Pizzello said that about 45 minutes before the show, when guests were starting to file into the Dolby Theater, cameras were filming Messi in the spot that was later used as a cut-in or a reaction shot, right? When they show somebody in the audience. As for the clapping pause, Pizzello said a member of the crew was also helping make the memorable cutaway happen. A human hand and fake paws can be seen in one of Pizzello's shots at that moment. That's how they did it. Messi did not, however, appear to actually be in the theater for the duration of the show. Perhaps he snuck in early to relax at a viewing party instead. Though the dog was not nominated for any Oscars this year, he has been a fixture during awards season, stealing the spotlight at every stop, including the nominees' luncheon, sharing moments with the likes of Ryan Gosling and Billie Eilish. He was also awarded the Palm Dog. I didn't know that was a thing. There's an award for dogs at the Cannes Film Festival last year. A representative for the actor did not immediately respond to requests for comment. That's cute.
That's really cute. Wes says they made the dog clap. They have the dog
clapping.
Yeah,
so they're saying that was
point.
that was a fake, mm-hmm. a fake paw.
Yeah. That's cute. Love it. Love it.
Up next, guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs. I had a guinea pig when I was little. Her name was Rosie.
Was she a riveter?
She was not. This guinea pig escaped a hoarding situation. So kind of a sad situation here. But now this guinea pig named Redbird is in the running to be the next Cadbury bunny. And so Redbird, the guinea pig, rescued from this hoarding situation. The guinea pig is blind, and a woman took her in and has now given her a happy home. At this point, Redbird is in the semifinals. The owner hopes she'll get enough votes to go all the way. They say they call it to the final four instead of the final four.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The voting begins on March 11th. If you'd like to keep up with Redbird, you can check it out at Cadbury USA on Instagram. But it's kind of cool. This little, they have like strapped little bunny ears to her little head. It's
yeah.
cute.
Sorry, cute I don't have the maybe we can get a photo here. Sorry, this was a late entry to the show. Yeah. And
no worries. We don't need a picture for everything. It's okay.
Well, you know, if you're gonna show, if you're gonna talk about a guinea pig with like bunny ears, let me
yeah,
hustle and get you a
cute.
Photo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can vamp for me here and take a second.
Oh, well, yes. Yeah. So if you could please click like and click subscribe on the show. Oh, is that her?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, look at that.
I was going to give you a generic picture of a guinea pig, but that wouldn't be suitable.
That's Redbird. That's yeah, Redbird. She's cute. So mm-hmm. hopefully she makes it into the Cadbury commercial. That would yeah. be nice. To come from humble beginnings and then make it big. Look at you go, Redbird. Please click like and subscribe on the After Party Live, and thank you for being with us. If you're new to the show, we're trying to grow it, so you can share it on Facebook or X as well. And again, if you'd like to just click like, that's free, and it's a great way to help us out.
Kim, you're so professional and experienced at reading scripts that other people have written. You're much better than I am. You get points, 10 points.
Thank you. I'll take my ding that you gave me there. That's
10
nice.
10 points to Gryffindor. TSA scanning. This is in the news.
This is, you know what this is? This is Travel Tuesday.
Oh, are we doing Travel Tuesday?
That's what it is, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You're right. You know what? I am falling down on the job.
Oops, sorry. Travel
sorry,
Tuesday.
Kim. I was delayed. I was on a flight and, you know, I had to catch my connection. I'm so sorry. It's Travel Tuesday, everybody.
Welcome to Travel Tuesday. Oops, I'll take it down too.
You're driving again?
I am sorry. I was trying to. So they're doing something new with TSA, and I don't know how this is going to work out. They're trying it first at this checkpoint in Las Vegas. It's a self-screening.
That's where I just came from.
Is that where you came from?
I love to gamble, hang out with Mark Thompson.
They want you to screen yourself instead of having someone screen you.
It's so invasive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's opening officially March 11th at Harry Reid International Airport. It's kind of like a grocery store self-checkout kiosk, but instead of scanning out items...
Can you steal things?
You're scanning to ensure that you're not a threat.
Oh, I thought maybe you could steal things from the store. That's what self-checkout's for, right?
No, Mockingbird. Mm. No. The TSA folks...
No, Mockingbird, no.
They say they're constantly looking at innovative ways to enhance the passenger experience while improve security. So they're trusting some travelers to be able to complete these screenings at their own pace. Right now, the station, the check yourself out station, is only available to TSA pre-check travelers. It's possible additional passengers could use similar self-scanning options in the future, depending on the success of this one. So we'll see how it goes.
Wait, the check yourself out station, is that like a mirror? Because I love to check myself out.
Yeah, well, you're a pretty bird. That's true.
I'm a pretty bird. Pretty bird.
They'll see apparently something similar to the standard security checks alongside the addition of camera-enabled video screens. So TSA agents are still going to be nearby. I guess if you look a little hinky, they'll be able to, you know, pull you aside. But they won't directly interact with passengers unless someone requests assistance, which could take the form of a virtual agent popping up on the video screen as well. The new self-guided station's X-ray machines function similarly to the standard checkpoints. They have automated conveyor belts, which feed all the luggage into a more sensitive detection system. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this.
How long before the terrorists figure out how to hack these things?
Right. Right. Or things get missed. There's
like
something...
a little thumb drive in, just like in the movies, override the scan.
There's something to me about human eyes and the human experience and our gut instincts that are valuable. I don't know. The whole point is to reduce instances where a pat down or security secondary screening procedure would be necessary. And so I don't know how you can...
taxpayer, you know, I pay my fair share. We're spending what, billions of dollars on security, and now we got
to
do it ourselves.
Now
this
you have to do it yourself.
This is not a safe way. Okay.
No.
Come on, people.
Well, and I don't trust other people, to be honest.
I don't think Mockingbird's impressed.
When they're being asked questions, I don't think Mockingbird is either. Neither am I.
Do-it-yourself security? I mean, maybe in this case it works because it's limited to TSA pre, but like now you're just giving another avenue for people to figure out how to go to get around the system.
Yeah.
This is a bad idea.
And you're trusting people to answer honestly, and then there's no one to look in your eyes and hold you
accountable. And eventually, this slippery slope, then they're going to try to expand it. Then you're going to have everybody who's confused and doesn't know how to use it, and now you're going to have a backup. Yeah. It's like, this just seems counterproductive.
Right.
Call me cynical, because I am.
So they're doing this thing with spring breakers in Florida, and they're basically cracking down on it, telling people, wait a minute, don't come here and try to drink and party and break laws and go crazy.
These people are not. They're not calming down at all.
No.
Because they're saying, you can't get rid of us. Spring breakers are unbothered by Miami Beach trying to keep them away. So you may have heard in the news that Miami Beach is feeling overwhelmed by all the spring breakers. They're trying to put in all these policies, you know, procedures. Mm-hmm. Spring break in Miami Beach has taken a different atmosphere this year. They're marked by all these increased police presence, barricades, strict regulations. Visitors to the area are met with warnings of no open alcohol. Good luck with that. And no loud music while roads remain closed to traffic with park lease strictly enforced. One local employee noted that the subdued streets commenting on the removal of sidewalk restaurant seating as a notable change. Miami Beach police have adopted a more robust and proactive approach for one of their busiest seasons of the year, aiming to manage the influx of visitors more effectively. Feedback from beachgoers suggests an approval of the changes, with many acknowledging the need for stricter measures following previous year's chaos. But right now, it hasn't been too crazy, said one tourist. I like all the changes they've made. I've come here every year around this time. I have a condo down the street, and it's just a crazy madhouse. I saw something on social media. Someone put out a, why not come here for spring break? It made sense for me after last year when it was a fiasco. But spring breakers have the right to enjoy. They just don't have the right to destroy. Oh, that's like a campaign slogan or a
poster. Yeah, it is.
Despite the new safety measures in place, some locals said Miami Beach won't be able to get rid of spring breakers so easily. We're like a toxic ex. You can't break up with us, said one man. We ain't ever breaking up. We're staying forever, said Cheyenne. The sentiment is echoed by city leaders. While acknowledging the majority of visitors are well-behaved, they recognize the necessity of increased enforcement to handle disruptive behavior.
That's pretty funny, because the whole advertisement to get people not to come there was a breakup. Like, it's not us, it's you, right?
Oh, really? Yeah. The city's made almost 600 arrests in recent years during spring break. And while leaders say the vast majority of those that come are good visitors, they have to work double time to handle the bad. So, I mean, that makes sense, right? But you kind of invited it. They were promoting it for a long time. It was on MTV every summer.
We talked a lot on the show about visitors coming and, you know, leaving pollution behind.
Yeah.
So many people in an area that the area kind of loses some luster.
Yeah.
And now, in addition to places in Italy and other parts of the world, Mount Fuji is going to enforce a visitor cap and also an entry fee to target these overcrowding issues. Look at Mount Fuji. How beautiful is that?
Wow.
Yeah, really beautiful. But there's overcrowding there. There's a lot of people filing up this mountain. It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It is an icon when you think of Japan. My husband has a story about he was in the Marines, and he was sent to Japan, and they went to Mount Fuji, and he went up the wrong side of the mountain and got lost. And the people that helped him didn't speak any English, But they fed him sushi and they put him in the back of the truck and they dropped him back off at the base where he needed to be dropped off. Really, really kind people. Cool. But the foothills are littered with garbage now, and hikers and some trying to go up there in sandals. Just like, it's not a good scene. These are just...
What can you tell us about said scene?
I can tell you they don't want as many people up there right now. So the government that manages Fuji voted to charge $13 per climber going up Mount Fuji going forward. They also are going to promote safety measures for climbing Mount Fuji. You can't go in your sandals. You need good hiking shoes to go up this mountain. They're not going to go up and rescue all these people that get stuck and can't get back down.
That's common sense.
Right. It is common sense. They want to, they say, to pass this treasure down to their future generations. So they're not going to let it get trashed up. They're not going to let people go off trail, right? In order, they say, to revive traditional mountain climbing from the foot of Mount Fuji, they will gain detailed understanding of the Fujiko and Oshi culture that support Mount Fuji worship. We look to link these cultures, they say, to the mountain climbing as it is rooted in the cultures and values of the religion. Fujiko is a religion specific to Mount Fuji.
Oh, it sounds like a company.
It does, but it isn't. So there's going to be new guides who manage safety in and around the trails. They'll be informing climbers when they're violating etiquette on the mountain, like sleeping by the side of the trail. You won't be able to do it. Starting fires, no can do.
Imagine these employees are like, here come the Americans.
Right. Starting fires and wearing Birkenstocks. No wearing the wrong kind of clothing or shoes. They didn't specifically use the word over tourism, but look at that. Look at all the people walking up there.
Yeah.
In recent years, they say it's become clear too many pairs of feet are causing issues, is what they said.
Yeah, so, they're having this problem all over the place. Machu Picchu, mm-hmm. they have an appointment system now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we can't have nice free things, because people don't know how to act.
And people leave trash and try to start fires and they're sleeping up there. That's not good tourism.
That's not cool.
No, it's not cool. I can see why they're trying to crack down on that.
Well, let's stay in Japan.
Okay.
Since it is beautiful. Look at this. Japan's Wisteria Tunnels. So these
I want to go. That's so pretty.
They have all these places where they're using wisteria to make these beautiful tunnels. And here it's kind of like a tunnel or a wisteria roof, I guess. Even more magical than their cherry blossoms, according to Travel and Leisure. Every spring, travelers from around the world visit Japan to see the country's cherry blossoms, but the season also brings several other stunning blooms to admire. Wisteria, known as Fuji in Japanese, there you go, may only be the country's second most famous flower, but thanks to their flexible branches, they can be turned into large tunnels dripping with blue, pink, purple, and white flowers. Strolling through the kaleidoscope, it's magical for visitors. Yeah,
that's incredible.
I think I have one more photo here. See this? Like, yeah, it looks almost artificial, right?
Look at all the people packed up there, though.
Yeah, not a lot of feet. While peak blooming periods can vary depending on the temperature and location, lucky visitors may be able to catch Japan's cherry blossoms and wisteria blooms in one trip. Wisteria typically blooms around late April and early May, with slight variations depending on the type. Planning a flower-filled trip to Japan? They have a list here. If you want to check it out, it's at travelleisure.com of all the different parks. So there's Ashikaga Flower Park. And that is the one that we see here on screen. That's pretty cool. And then they have a list of other ones, Kawachi Wisteria Garden and all these different ones, Tanoga Park. So check it out at travelleisure.com if you want to look at the pictures of wisteria.
I'm a big wisteria person. I have wisteria on an arch in my front yard, and there's like this board on the front of my house, and kind of like an overhang, and I have wisteria growing along it as well. So two or three times a year it blooms and it's amazing, and the rest of the time it just looks like sticks. It's important to go when the wisteria is blooming, right?
Yeah.
Did you know it is the perfect time to travel, especially for people on a budget? Because according to CNN, flights in the United States have never been cheaper. They haven't been this cheap since 2009, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah. So plane tickets remain relatively cheap. Airfares are down, while the cost of living is spiraling and hitting groceries and every day costs really hard. Apparently, the price of plane tickets is at a 15-year low. So maybe it's nice. Time to take that trip you've been thinking about. In the United States, at least, it's at a 15-year low. Travel expert telling CNN the average airfare is nearly a quarter less than it was pre-pandemic. In fact, it hasn't been this cheap since 2009. This is our first full normal year of travel since the COVID reared its ugly head.
Right.
And while they don't expect prices to skyrocket anytime soon, they say the biggest factor of why we see cheap flights is competition, right? Budget air carriers in the mix because they place downward pressure on the legacy carriers to keep those airline prices down.
That's why we don't want more mergers.
Airline mergers could affect it, meaning less competition, potentially higher fares. But this week, a federal judge blocked the merger, or last week, of JetBlue and Spirit. And so airlines tickets in the U.S. stay relatively low.
Yeah.
So pretty good. If you're tempted by new visa programs and tax incentives to encourage digital nomads, investors, and families to begin fresh lives abroad, you can check out the best countries for expats, a website they have on CNN to check it out. They have a golden visa program in Portugal, which is attracting a lot of people to come to Portugal. Mexico, apparently, is a pretty big retirement destination. So, yeah. Looks like now's the time to buy your plane ticket and have a good time.
There you go. Some people like to fly. Most people like to fly, I think. And then some people like to take cruises, unless they lose their luggage.
Mm-hmm.
But cruises are still calling into port in Haiti. And you know, Haiti's
government
isn't
it really dangerous there?
Yeah, Haiti's government's falling apart right now. And I think the U.S. is getting involved. And I think it's Kenya that's leading the charge to try to get some kind of control back. The gangs have taken over their country.
Yikes.
But this is kind of interesting that the cruise lines are still going to Haiti. You may be asking, why the hell would you be doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes down to the fact that they have their own private resort. So 130 miles north of Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, which has been gripped by a wave of gang attacks, a private cruise port is receiving guests at a resort with its own security and controlled access. Royal Caribbean ships are still calling into Labadee, the cruise company's day-use property, located on a peninsula more than 6 hours' drive from Port-au-Prince. The company is monitoring the situation throughout the area, according to a spokesperson for Royal Caribbean. A U.S. Department of State's Level 4 Travel Advisory, a.k.a. Do Not Travel, the highest warning level that exists, is in effect for the country of Haiti and was most recently updated last year, July 2023, citing kidnapping, crime, civil unrest, and poor healthcare infrastructure, among the other reasons that the U.S. State Department has advised against traveling there.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti shares the island of Hispaniola with the Dominican Republic, which has a level 2, and level 2 means exercise increased caution. Other countries with level 4, otherwise known as do not go there, include Russia, Syria, and Burkina Faso. So don't schedule any
vacations
for Syria.
Wait, what was the last one you mentioned?
Burkina Faso.
Where is that?
That's Africa, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm
West
ignorant.
Africa.
I've never heard of it before. That's cool.
It's okay. Just north of Ghana. It's between Mali and Ghana, north
but
of Togo.
Don't go there, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go
it's
to Togo.
No-go.
To go.
It's a no-go. As a matter of fact, Michael says don't move to Mexico either. He says it's on the verge of uninhabitable. Huh.
Well,
I mean, I know there's a lot of crime there, but I thought there were pockets that were still pretty good.
If you have money, if you have a lot of money, then you're going to have to hire security, but you have to have your wits about you. Even in Puerto Vallarta, I've police will shake you down. Police try to shake me down, but luckily for me, I didn't have any money on me because I had spent it all that night. and they don't have, the Fourth Amendment, so they were doing a complete search of all my pockets and everything. But luckily, I was a good boy and I didn't get in trouble. But, just outside of Puerto Vallarta, I have friends that live in that area. The cartels will just, sorry, this is kind of Debbie Downer, but we're talking about safety. They will kill people and hang them off the freeway overpass outside of Puerto Vallarta, like, 20
Horrible.
Miles, 50 miles out. So if you're going to go to Mexico, do your research. Do your due process.
Calvin says, stay home, go nowhere. Well, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, the whole
due
point
diligence
of,
is what I meant to say.
The whole point of living is to experience things and go see things, right?
Right.
I mean,
you want to come back from them.
You do want to come back from them, but you want to broaden your horizons. So just staying home, I don't know. Walter
stay
says
home
he
and
only
get baked.
He only travels virtually. Yeah.
Yeah. So
That was Travel Tuesday. Travel Tuesday for a Tuesday, which is usually when we do Travel Tuesday. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You want to take a break or you want to go right to CrossFit?
I think it's time to, well, I don't want to go to CrossFit at all. I think it's time to take a break.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk about why CrossFit is on the way out. And we'll also talk about all the fake news AI is generating and why that's a problem. Uh-oh. That's next on the After Party Live.
Hey, everybody, it's your friend Satan. Love me or hate me, the After Party Live is underwritten by our audience. And without you, this show wouldn't be possible. If you can contribute $10, $15, $20, $666, it would keep this party very, very hot and heavy. Any dollar amount is appreciated and it all adds up, isn't that the truth? The PayPal link can be found in the About section of the YouTube channel or at the bottom of the show description. I know what you're thinking, why should I be tempted by the devil, but come on, guys, it's not like I'm asking you for your soul.
A party where you don't even have to leave the house. You could be naked for all we care. The After Party, live.
Rock on, Satan, says Kathleen. I love this text from Josh, or this message from Josh. I wouldn't go on a cruise. I can lick a doorknob for free.
Yeah, that kind of encapsulates how I feel.
Ew.
We have people to thank.
Thank, yes, our ongoing contributors Lee S and Heather K. Love you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Heather. Yes, we also want to thank Wes coming in over there with $5. Woo. Thank you, Wes. And we want to thank Jim Slayton with $5.
Jim, thank you so much. We appreciate that. It's really
we don't like
kind.
Talk about money because it's kind of a bummer. We only have an hour, but small budget operation. So when you contribute to the show, you're the ones making it happen. Thank you.
You are. Tell me why I don't have to go to CrossFit.
I would say, first of all, because you don't want to, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a good enough reason. Another website wants me to sign up for something. We're no longer in the heyday of HIIT, or high intensity interval training, and CrossFit. Now low impact. So this is about low impact exercises.
Oh.
Low impact and functional fitness workouts are all the rage for Americans.
Does
why
that mean
it matters.
People aren't working out as hard?
Not as intense, because CrossFit is insane. You got to the point where people were getting sick. Was it called rhomboid, something like rhomboid? I can't think of the word.
I don't know.
That's when you work out so hard that you cause a toxicity in your muscles. I think I may be getting that wrong.
Oh, God. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's called Rambo. A serious medical condition that can be fatal or result in permanent disability. I'm just going to call it rhabdo. Rhabdo occurs when damaged muscle tissues release its proteins and electrolytes into the blood. These substances can damage the heart and kidneys and cause permanent disability or even death. Now, most people do CrossFit aren't running into this problem, but the people who are psycho and are working out way too hard, they can run into these problems. But anyway, this is talking about intense workouts, right? This is like really, really intense.
Yeah.
So the focus is now shifting to low impact and functional fitness workouts. Why it matters: as longevity becomes a primary health focus, more adults are prioritizing workouts that help them in the long term by being easier on the body, right? Your joints, improving flexibility and strength. More than one third of Americans say they prefer low intensity training exclusively, according to recent data from a exercise booking platform, Mindbody, which is also where you can book massages. And almost 29% of consumers said that they exercise for a long and healthy life in 2023, compared to 20% the year before. About 15 years ago, we went through an era of high-intensity interval training, from Insanity, that was the name of a program, that's also a state of mind, to CrossFit, according to a professor of sport and health medicine at the University of Exeter. When done too quickly, those kind of high-impact workouts can lead to back, knee, or ankle injuries.
Yikes.
Now, Pilates, in particular, is taking off. Pilates, low-impact exercise that benefits balance, flexibility, and core strength. It can help athletes recover from injuries, and it was the most popular class of 2023 with booking reservations up 92% from the year before. And Yelp searches for Pilates increased 25% from the previous year. Functional fitness is a kind of movement that more than half of those surveyed by MindBody said they're engaged in, and it's a relatively new wellness phrase. It doesn't have an exact clinical definition, but it generally means exercise that advances your physiological function. MindBody defines it as the type of strength training that prepares the body for day-to-day activities like squatting, bending, pushing, and lunging. Unlike stationary bikes and certain gym equipment, which offer a singular repetitive motions. Functional fitness exercises typically work multiple muscle groups via different planes of movement done at low or high intensity and with or without equipment, right? So these functional fitness exercises and low impact exercises like Pilates are particularly important for people 40 and older, because that's the age at which muscle mass and function can start to decline, right? Mm. So they say more exercise research is in the works, including studies that they're working on related to recovery and injury prevention in runners. And I think that's the kind of workout that makes sense as you get older. I know my knees don't want any intense exercising, but you know, you right. got to stay active, like we talked about yesterday. Stay yeah. active and do what makes sense for you, and don't overexert yourself.
Is it? Does it mean I'm old if...
I'm not a doctor, by the way.
Does it mean I'm old if I'm starting to get advertisements for chair yoga?
Oh, probably. Probably because the AI is watching the show and then saying, yeah. hey, I know what to show Kim.
She looks like a perfect candidate for chair yoga. That's right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about AI-generated news. It's really, really yeah. becoming a problem.
Yeah, look at this. This is a fake.
The picture is fake, or the story that accompanies it is fake?
Actually, the picture looks a little fake. Look at its face. That looks a little fake, but the story is fake.
Mm, yeah, there's a lot of different stories, and I won't mention the story specifically, but I can say that propaganda-spewing websites have used to rely on a bunch of writers. People would have to actually do the work. But now they've got AI tools that will jump in and do the work for you, and that means it's cheaper, it's faster, and they can spew out this stuff like it's going out, not going out of style, right? It can be hard to know, is it authentic information? Is it right. AI-generated information? Like, what is it that we're looking at? And there are hundreds of these websites where they try to make themselves look like legitimate news sites, and they're popping up, as we speak, all over the internet. They've got fake stories about everything from war to politicians, like you see here. And
just to clarify, there was a fake story about Benjamin Netanyahu that was AI generated, if you're wondering why he's on the screen.
Yeah. And I don't want to push fake stories, but yeah,
we're just mentioning that it was about him. It was
yeah, that's
story.
Why he's on the screen, yeah. right? And it's about politicians, it's about war, it's about all of these things. And it's really hard to discern what is true and what isn't, especially when we have all these high-stake elections that are happening here in the United States and around the world. This is a pretty serious situation. The researchers looking into this say the exponential growth in AI-generated news and information sources is pretty alarming, because these sites can be perceived by the average user to be totally legit, trustworthy sources of information. So people believe this stuff. They right. found at least 739 AI-generated news websites, multiple languages, operating with little to no human oversight at all. And some have generic names like Ireland Top News, right? Or DC Weekly.
Right.
Fake, all AI generated.
But if you don't do your due diligence and find out, you know, whether or not that's real, you might just go for it, right?
They say this is just the low-hanging fruit, right? These are the ones that are easy to figure out. There's right. a lot of them that are harder to figure out. And sometimes you'll have a story on a site like this, and someone not paying attention in a real newsroom will pick mm-hmm. it up and run with it. And then you get, yeah, I've heard it happen. And it's just, it's kind of infiltrating.
You would never do that, Kim.
Well, I would hope not. But I did hear it done on a big news agency in San Francisco, and it had to do with the Israel-Hamas conflict and information that's not true. And it has me really questioning now everything I hear, every sad story I hear, everything. I'm questioning.
What about stories that are presented on the after party?
Well, let's hope they're right. You know, we're not supposed to be asking questions about stories, so we're just taking it as
it's
given. It
might be time to start asking questions.
Maybe it's time. I don't know. But yeah, AI-led misinformation. Another fear is that it can lead to the influence of policy decisions as well, as people in even positions of power believe the stuff that's totally faker baker and not at all
the other issue
of
is
being
even if
around.
It's discovered that it's fake, is it like mm-hmm. is by the time you find out, is it too late? You
right.
know, and then the crazy conspiracy theorists mm-hmm. have glommed onto it and believe it. So
and once you're in, you're in. Absolutely. Yeah. from entertainment news. Woohoo!
Yeah, from not so entertaining to entertainment. Matthew Perry, his will names the executors of his estate and a $1 million trust with a legendary Hollywood link. That's right. His trust is called the Alvy Singer Trust, which is named after Woody Allen's character in Annie Hall.
I wonder why he did that. Maybe he liked that movie.
Yeah. I imagine it has something to do with that. Mm-hmm. More than 4 months after Matthew Perry's death at the age of 54, details about the beloved Friends actor have emerged. According to a legal filing obtained by People, I don't think they're fake. I mean, they're superficial, but I don't think they're fake. The will indicates that the majority of the late actor's belongings will be placed in a trust with a legendary Hollywood link. The document, which Perry created in 2009, notes that he wanted to leave his items in the Alvy Singer Trust, which was seemingly named after Woody Allen's character in Annie Hall, like we mentioned. His father, John Perry, and mother, Suzanne Morrison, are named as trust beneficiaries. His half-sister, Caitlin Morrison, and Rachel Dunn are also listed as beneficiaries. Perry also indicated in his will that any children he had would not be entitled to access his estate. Was he worried that he had some kids he didn't know about? Because,
who knows?
According to the article, he didn't have any kids.
Right.
He's being careful, I guess. The filing also indicates that Perry, or his lawyer was being careful, the filing also indicates that Perry had over $1 million in personal property when he died, which is in addition to what his executors, Lisa Ferguson and Robin Roseanne, have already put in the living trust. Roseanne, who is Mike Myers' ex-wife, was the executive producer of the game show Celebrity Liar, on which Perry appeared in 2010. People has reached out to Perry's rep for comment. And as you remember, he died on October 28th. You know, Kim, yeah. I was in People magazine.
You were?
Did I ever tell you, Kim, that I was
no.
in People magazine? That's
for
right.
What?
I probably shouldn't be bashing them as superficial because they put my photo. I'll have to find it and scan it and maybe show you. I was in a mini series that was filmed here in San Francisco. And when they film a mini series or any television show, they have press photographers, right? So I didn't know, but a photographer from People took a photo. And the funny thing is, we were told to look in one direction at a politician. It was actually Carol Migdon in the past speaking on a stage. And we're all looking, right? Except this one woman looks right at the press photographer, right in the camera. So she kind of spoiled the shot because everyone else is acting, background acting, and she looks right into the camera. But I'm in People magazine and I got a lot of phone calls.
Look at you.
I know.
Wow. I'm talking to a bona fide celebrity. I love Emma Stone. Of course, you know, she just won the Oscar for Best Actress. She really...
Whereas they are, did you use text-to-speech last night when you're putting this in? Because
yeah,
the headline I see is, I'm a Stone.
I'm a Stone, yeah. I did voice-to-text.
Oh, okay.
Emma Stone loves the game show Jeopardy, loves it, and wants to be on it. But she doesn't want to be on the celebrity version. She just wants to be on the normal version. So anytime they've reached out, or if they were to reach out and say, hey, come on the celebrity version of Jeopardy, she'll say no. Mm-mm. She wants to be on the normal version of Jeopardy with the smart people.
Yeah,
she wants some real competition. Yeah. She's a huge fan of this show. And she's tried multiple times to get on the show and has not yet been successful. But she says she's really interested in doing this. She said she thinks she can hang with the Brainiacs and get this going. So
interesting.
Hopefully someone hears that and gives her a shot at it. I think that would be great.
Very cool. You know what else is very cool? Miss Organic is very cool.
$5 that's so nice.
Super sticker, fun show, or super comment, or what do we call them? Super chat.
Super chat.
Fun show. Sans current. Back to work, smiley face. Thank you, Miss Organic. $5. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Miss Organic.
As Satan is first to tell you.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Really nice.
Okay, you're going to have to save all those dollars. You know why?
Why?
Retirement. Retirement is coming. But retiring in America increasingly means working into old age.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound exciting. Yeah, with most seniors unable to support themselves on Social Security and savings alone, according to a noted retirement expert, the reason the nation's retirement system has left behind the bottom 90% of workers. Now we sound like our favorite Democratic socialist, Bernie Sanders. This economist and retirement expert told CBS's Money Watch in discussing her new book, Work, Retire, Repeat, The Uncertainty of Retirement in the New Economy. So this labor economist and professor at the New School for Social Research in New York said, the nation needs a bold plan, which she calls the Gray New Deal, after the Depression New Deal, right? You know, the Depression era New Deal, mm-hmm. to shore up retirement for millions of Americans. Her research shows that only 10% of Americans between the ages of 62 and 70 are both retired and financially stable. Did you catch that? Only 10% of Americans between 62 and 70 are both retired and financially stable. That's the key. And the majority of older Americans are either retired, but living below the standard of living that they enjoyed while they were working, or still working because they can't afford to stop, according to the new data analyzed for the survey. 30% of Americans lack any savings for retirement.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. About 3 in 10 Americans who are 59 and older do not have any money put away for retirement. At the same time, some policy experts and lawmakers point to a decades-long improvement in life expectancy as a solution to Americans' lack of retirement. Mm. What are we going to do about retirement? Well, you know what? Live longer, people. Because people are living longer, they argue they should extend their working lives into old age. This sounds like a Republican conservative argument.
Michael says he's already selected his retirement alley. Oh, yeah. No.
All the business leaders and CEOs are like, just work longer. That's your solution. Republican.
My husband is convinced he's going to have to work till he's 85.
I didn't read ahead in the story, but speak of the devil, here's the next sentence. Republican lawmakers have proposed raising the retirement age for claiming Social Security to 70, up from 67, citing longer lifespans. I knew it was the Republicans. And there's also a growing belief among younger workers that they'll be able to work into their late 60s or even longer, even though the average retirement age is 62. With many older people leaving the workforce unwillingly, typically because they were fired or encountered health issues or the radio station shut down. We found that most people who are retired didn't retire when they wanted to, but because they were forced out. Even though we have this idea that people could just decide to work a little bit longer, it probably isn't their choice for the most part. Yeah. In other words, you can plan to work longer, but life might have other plans for you. And so if you want to read more about this, this is in CBS News, and the headline of the article is "Retiring in America Increasingly Means Working into Old Age."
William says, "I have a few bucks over $100,000 saved, which is nothing." Right? I mean, when you think about how much it takes to live during 1 year, how that $100,000 is going to go poof.
Right. And they say the magic number, once you get to retirement, is you can take out this. They've gone back and forth, but I think the number is returning to 4%, where generally speaking, it's considered by experts to be a safe amount to take out every year. So do the math. It's not going to be enough.
Good goals for Wes: have the house and the car and important stuff paid for. Social Security and my 401k will hopefully let me get by.
Yeah, that's how mom's getting by. Dad paid off everything was paid off. So if everything's paid off and you're on a pension, which doesn't really exist anymore, you're okay. But, you know, pensions are gone for the most part. I mean, you might get a pension because you're in a union, SAG.
Right.
Well, I'm in the union, but I didn't qualify because I was a producer. But if you don't have a pension plan, it's Social Security and your retirement savings, your 401k, right?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think, even if you have a feeling that your parents have a lot of property or a lot of things coming your way, I don't think anyone should ever bank on that. Like, that shouldn't be the plan, right? We should have the plan
other than
that. Well,
it can't
be
the only plan. But I've come to terms with the fact that, okay, I may never be able to afford to buy property in the Bay Area, but I will inherit property in the Bay Area. I'm not relying on that for income, but that does give me comfort knowing that I won't have to move out of the state.
Right.
Eventually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mars is taking a really negative view here. Save as much as you want. The world will be in war in 5 to 10 years and the account's lost. I don't know.
That's more cynical than me. That's impressive. I know. Very impressive. Who was that?
That's Mars.
That was Mars, formerly known as Anonymous, right? Wow, you get the cynicism award of the day.
Yeah. Look at this. Lisa says, my husband is a 76-year-old band leader and has no plans to retire anytime soon. That's a fun job, though. I wouldn't want to retire either. That's awesome. All right. You remember yesterday? Do we have time to do a story, or is it party over?
No, we have, we're at 53 or 54.
Okay.
We're fine.
So I have this story. Remember yesterday we talked about butt milk?
How could I forget, Kim?
Today I have a story for you along the same lines. But listen, before you turn me off.
Yeah. Can I turn you off? Wait.
You can't.
Oh, I can turn you off. Look at that. Oh, wait. I should turn you back on.
Yeah. Someday some five-year-old is going to ask you this question and you're going to remember this moment and you're going to be like, thanks, Kim. Let's talk about the way insects urinate. This is something.
Okay, folks, just if you're taking notes, it's always Kim that puts the gross stories.
This is something I've never considered before. I mean, who would think of such a thing, right? Researchers do. That's who. This is a cicada. Am I saying that right?
Cicada? Cicada?
Cicada? Cicada?
I think most people say cicada, but
well, they when they emerge in the billions. There's like a gazillion of them come all at once. They're really loud. But apparently, researchers say, I know, Pauline, my bad. I'm sorry. I love you, but we got to do
says,
it.
Pauline says, ew, not again.
This is fascinating. The way they pee is making some waves this year.
Jesus Christ.
Who knew this? Okay. So this is the key that you need to pay attention to. Instead of urinating in tiny droplets that they flick from their butts like other insects and small organisms, cicadas pee in high-speed jets like large mammals. The urinary habit detailed in the March 11th journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Thank you very much.
Ugh, gross.
Droplets versus jets. The insects generally eat xylem sap from trees and pee in droplets since it uses less energy to excrete the sap. But cicadas eat so much sap that individually flicking away each drop would be too taxing, too much energy. And using that much energy to toss away your pee droplets would mean they would need to eat even more tree sap. So now that they pee in jets, it allows them to generate a large volume of liquid excretion, right? And that's important because these insects have to ingest a large number of that sap every day. So they need to excrete large volumes of it as well. Anyway, it goes on. But all I'll tell you is some insects pee in jet streams and some pee in little droplets that they have to flick away from their butts with their wings and feet. Things you never knew you needed to know here on the After Party Live. Thank you, and you're welcome.
I probably could have gone my whole life without knowing that.
You think? No. I'm telling you. Someday it's going to come in handy, this knowledge that we have just given. Someday it will.
No, you know what I'll say? Google it.
Google
it. In the meantime, Americans are moving a lot less. And who do you think's to blame? It's the boomers.
Oh.
Uh-oh. We usually blame the millennials. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Fewer Americans are moving within the U.S. and boomer homeowners are in more expensive states may explain why. In a new working paper, economics professor William Olney and Owen Thompson did not talk about how bugs pee, but they determined that the residents of states with high home prices, such as California and New York, have become less likely to move as a result of those prices. The researchers argued older homeowners primarily drove the decline in internal migration. The decline in internal migration appears to be primarily driven by the migration decisions of older homeowners in expensive urban states becoming less responsive to local home prices. Over the last few decades, U.S. internal migration has fallen substantially, with census data showing internal migration has slowed since the 1970s amid deindustrialization and a weaker economy. This suggests that declining internal migration is due to the changes in the structural aspects of migration choice, which affect individuals and families of many different backgrounds. Zooming out, the researchers noted that people tend to migrate from the Northeast, Midwest, and California to the Northwest, Southeast, and Southwest. Net migration has been strongest out of California, Illinois, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York, which have relatively high wages and housing prices. Net positive states like Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas often have lower wages and housing prices. Still, the inflow rate for Sunbelt states, as they're known, though still much higher than most other states, has declined most rapidly over the 23-year period. The researchers used IRS administrative data to determine why migration has fallen. They analyzed wage and housing price gaps between regions around big cities and found that higher wages tended to attract movers from low-wage areas, of course, while places with lower housing prices tend to bring in people from more expensive places.
Of course.
Right? So either searching for a cheaper place to live or you're trying to get a better job.
Yeah.
More specifically, a 10% increase in the origin wage correlates to a 3.5% decline in migration. And this is getting really wonky. If you want to read more about it, go to Business Insider and check it out. It's called Americans Are Moving a Lot Less and Boomers May Be to Blame.
I have some funny texts.
Okay, let's read some funny texts before we end the show.
Michael says, but they can't, regarding the cicadas, but they can't write their name in the snow. Their kind will never rule this world unless they kill us from sleep deprivation. Mars says, if we tie 10,009 cicadas together and make them pee at the same time, can they generate enough thrust to fly a human? John, why is this a story? Heather, it's the golden shower hour already.
This is a story because Kim adds things at the last minute. That's why.
How Bugs P would be a good movie or book title, right? I would totally watch it.
Yeah, I'm always concerned about people eating their lunch, and Kim is like, you know what? Screw it. Yeah, and the online pronunciation I'm finding is cicadas. Cicadas. Yeah. Like D-U-H-Z, does cicadas.
Look at all the things we've learned today. This is fantastic.
Some of them were great. Some of them were informative. Some of them were gross. But you know what? That's what you get at the after party. You never know what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Totally. Well, we do have some people to thank, and that does include, I believe, Wes, with a $5 super sticker.
We're doing the stickers first.
Thank you so much for doing that. And Jim with a $5 super sticker as well. And Miss Organic throws down a $5 for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And we have our regular ongoing contributors, Lee S. and Heather K. Thank you, guys. Those ongoing contributors and contributions are the backbone of the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
tomorrow you. Thank you. It is hump day and Weird News Wednesday on Weird the After News Party Wednesday's Live. Coming. I'm excited. Okay. Can't wait to get it going. I'll see you tomorrow on the Nikki Medoro Show, the Mark Thompson Show, and back here again on the After Party Live with my friend John Daly.
Have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Bye-bye.